Once again, here on Wednesday, we're always joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the... Once again, we're joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to the Stash.
Great to be on the show.
Well, goodness, we got some really bad news we're going to have to tell everybody about. Apparently, the federal government is telling us that the teen use of pot can lead to mental illness. It appears that it's crossed over the pond, hasn't it?
It's hilarious how quickly this came out right after the change in classification over in Britain. The irony is, you know, of course, here at Normal, we always say we don't want teens using cannabis. This is a recurring theme in my book, The Parent's Guide to Marijuana, that really this does interfere with a number of aspects of development. But it's unfortunate that the ONDCP picked depression in particular to target in this big statement. So they say, oh, marijuana use increases depression, and then that didn't really work. So now they say teens who self-medicate with marijuana end up more depressed later in life. Now, you can see how this is obviously kind of silly, because obviously the people who picked to choose marijuana in the first place to self-medicate depression were the most depressed, so it's really no surprise that they end up more depressed later in life. They were more depressed at the time. But then the extra layer of irony is almost the very next day, a new article came out in the American Journal of Drug and Alcohol Abuse by a really respected set of depression researchers that basically showed for folks from age 24 to 30, marijuana dependence, like literally a cannabis use disorder, didn't predict depression later in life. So clearly, once you're past this teenage of risk, there's obviously not a problem. And of course, this continues to support our idea that cannabis use for adults should be not only legal but taxed and regulated in a way that could really help us all.
So how do we debunk this kind of statement? You know, right here, the director of the ONDCP, the drug czar, John Walters, in this quote in the Associated Press, you know, he says that the teens who are depressed at some point in the past year are more than twice as likely to have used marijuana as teens who aren't depressed, 25% versus 12%. It would seem to me that that's kind of an obvious statement.
Well, in fact, it's almost circular, right?
Yeah.
You're more likely to be depressed in the future. The fact that, you know, in an attempt to self-medicate, you happen to turn to marijuana is probably what any teen would do first before, you know, trying to get into therapy or talk to their parents or members of clergy or things like that. I think the thing to do in this case, because the drug czar and I are on the same side on this one, we don't want to see teens get sucked into some depressive situation where they're using cannabis in a way that's not at all going to be helpful, is to encourage folks to recognize depression in teens. And what is it? Well, everybody gets down once in a while, but we're talking about a serious, you know, a week or two of really horrible mood, problems with sleep, loss of appetite, an inability to move fast. It seems like it's hard to make decisions. You know, talking real clinical depression here. And the thing that people don't seem to understand is you don't have to go to your general practitioner and get a medication. You can actually go see a therapist, and in as little as 3 months of once-a-week sessions, really, you know, doing your homework and going out there and paying attention to the way you spend your time and the way you see the world, depression can kick really, really easily. It's one of the things that we're really good at, particularly with just the talk treatments. I get disappointed sometimes when people go to their general practitioners and they get an antidepressant, and of course it doesn't work on its own because you still have all the problems and all the perspectives and all the things you're doing in your life that are kind of a bum out anyway. This is a big opportunity to say also, what do I do in my day? And what a surprise if every day is eating Cheetos and watching videos and nothing else fun, it really does turn into kind of a depressing sort of situation. But if you've got books to read and places to go and places you want to run and a little exercise to do and some other interest and hanging out with people who are nice, suddenly you find your day is filled with more pleasant activities. And a lot of times that's all it takes to really turn things around. Oh, gee, now I've got a day to look forward to. I know I'm going to do something fun. And things really lift. Obviously, it's never that simple if you're truly clinically depressed. But this is markedly better than seeing folks 14, 15, 16 turn into cannabis in a way that's really going to be depressing.
So it seems to me like there's just too much oversimplification on both sides of it. We can't say that there's a pharmacological cause of depression any more than there's a simple pharmacological solution for depression.
That's exactly the case. And here we have, you know, some good longitudinal data suggesting that, in fact, marijuana use isn't what leads to depression. It's pretty obvious that these are depressed kids who are turning to marijuana, and then it's really no surprise that they do end up depressed later in life. They're more likely to be depressed in the first place. The funny thing, too, Russ, is that big schizophrenia meta-analysis where we heard over and over again all the stuff about longitudinal data on marijuana predicting psychosis, that same paper reviewed studies of marijuana and depression and came to the conclusion that there really wasn't much of a link. So we're really reaching in this ONDCP publication to try to make it sound like marijuana is a cause of depression in teens, when in fact the data just don't support it.
Hmm. Now, moving away from talking about specifically the teenagers, in California, there's a medical marijuana state where they do recognize the medical use of marijuana for things like post-traumatic stress and anxiety, and to some extent, depression. Is there any clinical research that shows a positive effect from the use of marijuana in adults in treating major depression?
Well, I mean, we've seen tons of case studies in Lester Grinspoon's work, but this is another situation where I feel like the short, you know, series of psychotherapy sessions can be as effective or more, particularly with PTSD and depression, than actually having to use cannabis on a regular basis. And then you could still have cannabis there for any other symptoms or things like that, and it certainly helps your mood lift in depressing situations like cancer, chemotherapy, or age-related wasting or things like that. But it's, again, not the first line of defense, not the treatment of choice for anxiety, depression, or PTSD. So I'm happy people are finding relief from it. I certainly don't want to see them have any negative consequences. But the psychotherapy approach actually has no side effects, can be cheaper in the long run, and is, in at least according to our data, really, really effective.
Well, that's good to know then. We want to go forth with the truth about this and don't want to give anybody the idea that marijuana is some sort of cure-all for things. But certainly people shouldn't suffer negative consequences legally if they do find relief from cannabis in that situation.
Oh, absolutely. And in truth, I could say the same about a whole host of proposed pharmacological treatments for anxiety, depression, and PTSD. So it's not that cannabis has let us down in this situation. It's just we've got something that's even better.
Right, right. Now, going back to this report from the Drug Czar's office, they did make a note in the report that overall marijuana use among teens has decreased 25% since 2001, down to about 2.3 million kids who used pot at least once a month, according to their offices. So we are seeing a positive result there because, like you said, here at Normal, we wouldn't want to have teenagers smoking marijuana. But then he goes on to say something about having parents recognizing the signs of possible drug use and depression. I'll just read the quote from you and get your response. It says, quote, it's not something you look the other way about when your teen starts appearing careless about their grooming, withdrawing from the family, losing interest in their daily activities. Find out what's wrong, end quote. Sounds like a little bit of stoners in the mist there, doesn't it?
It's curious how those were his choices of symptoms, because those, of course, aren't classic symptoms of depression.
Of depression, yeah.
In fact, they're classic symptoms of adolescence. So I think, you know, it's great for parents and kids. They have wonderful relationships. And again, in the parents' guide, I emphasize this time and again. But touching base with somebody, particularly if they're having problems with sleeping and eating and the amount of energy they have, is an opportune way to prevent teen depression and all the associated negative consequences. And I applaud the Drug Czar for spreading the word that, hey, parents and kids should talk.
Yeah.
However, the veiled references to, oh, and by the way, cannabis is wrong and we should have 830,000 arrests a year, of course I can't support that in any way at all. And I feel like the fact that they're sort of turning to this is sort of letting the U.S. know, in a sense, hey, we're on our last legs here. We got nothing. We don't have any other research to tout anymore, so we're going to draw this smokescreen in this crazy way. And by all means, I'm all for public service announcements on decreasing teen depression and decreasing teen drug use, but let's not veil it in this anti-cannabis rhetoric that's going to, in a sense, alienate some of those very teens who we want to reach the most.
Absolutely. Now, there's one other portion to this report where they talk about the teen use of pot leading to dependency. John Walters says, quote, marijuana is a more consequential substance of abuse than our culture has treated it in the last 20 years. This is not just youthful experimentation that they'll get over as we used to think in the past, end quote. So it's back to that addiction and dependency idea.
There are small but significant correlations between age of first use and developing cannabis dependence. They're small, but they're real. I think this is a little alarmist, particularly in the reference to, oh, today's pot is stronger kind of thing, mm-hmm. because in fact, you know, literally a couple of million teens have experimented with cannabis and aren't dependent. It looks like there may be some biases against teens in the diagnosis of dependence, which is another set of issues, but in truth, I feel like this is a valid critique. It's like, hey, guys, for one thing, you really shouldn't smoke pot now because you're more likely to develop troubles with it later in life. In some sense, that's really true. And so, by all means, let's spread the word that way, using this as a justification to, you know, arrest folks. However, really doesn't qualify.
So it's not necessarily that the pot has changed from 20 years ago. It's that our recognition that the early use of the pot is the bad thing.
Yeah, and those data, you know, the correlations aren't big, but they're significant. And you know, as we've said time and again on the show, adolescence is not the time to begin marijuana use.
Well, we'll just have to leave it at that. Kids, wait until you're adults. That's what we'll have to say there.
Well, and the bottom line is it's probably better for your brain. It's certainly better for your chances of developing dependence. And if you are trying to treat a depressed mood on your own, there are markedly better ways that are more efficient and more cost efficient.
All right. Well, Dr. Earlywine, thanks again for illustrating the truth here and some of the scientific facts behind these crazy studies that we, or these crazy announcements that we get from the Drug Czar's office. It seems to be there's a new one every season, and we'll keep coming back to you to get the facts and information as best we know it.
Oh, always a pleasure to help.